friends. Well, they're cheap, aren't they? If someone says, I love you, hey, that's fantastic. But it doesn't prove that they do. The evidence of love is in what they do. It's true of people. And it's true of God. I mean, if God were put on trial, accused with loving you, would there be sufficient evidence to convict him? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program as we finish up this week by taking a look at the love of God for you from a different perspective. Now, the Bible says that God is love. The Bible says that God loves us, you, me, and every other Homo sapien on this earth. The Bible says that we're created in His image, and that despite our rebellion, despite the fact that the original image has been marred and disfigured almost beyond recognition, God still wants to restore us back into His original image. The Bible says. Now, at this point, I know that more than a few people are thinking, well, the Bible says, whoopity-doo, big deal. Come and look at my life. Come and look at my lousy marriage, my rebellious children, my loneliness, my pain, my financial hardship, the losses I've been through, the complete lack of hope that I have for the future. Come and look at that and then tell me what the Bible says. And if you relate to any of that, just a bit of that, then today I want to share some good news with you. I want to put God's love under a microscope for you. Let's make like we're in a court of law, in a trial that accuses God of loving us. The question I want to answer here is this. Is there enough evidence to convict him? Now, please don't write in or email or call. I don't mean that disrespectfully in any way. I simply want us to see what the evidence tells us as to whether God loves us or not. So, where do you begin? Let's begin at the beginning. Let's take a look. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind and the cattle of every kind and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over every fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning on the sixth day. So God goes on to create this whole universe, and then the last act of creation is he gives it all away to you and me, the whole cotton picking lot. But it's not just that. It's not just an act of incredible generosity. It's also an act of incredible vulnerability, not on our part, but on God's part. Because he creates us knowing full well that having given us free will, we would turn our backs on him. We would rebel against him. In fact, if you like, that's the whole story of the Old Testament in a nutshell. God's people rebelling against God. The name Israel literally means to struggle with God. And through all the ups and downs of the Old Testament, one thing becomes abundantly clear. It's this, that in our relationship with God, we will never, ever, ever be able to hold up our end of the bargain. We'll always fall short. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul writes in the New Testament. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. So, what to do? Now God has a dilemma. If he truly is a God of love, does he put sinners to death? That is, after all, what it says here. I mean, if he truly is a God of justice, he has to follow through, doesn't he? So his response to this dilemma is a real test of his love for us. How can he have justice and love? So what's his response? Well, let's look at the whole of Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The price of God's justice is paid when Jesus, the Son of God, takes our sin on his shoulders, punished on the cross so that we could be forgiven. In fact, when you think about it, this is the only possible way that God could have solved the dilemma by meeting both the requirements of justice and love. So forensically, what does this tell us about God's love? Well, Jesus put it this way, John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command. Just the other night on the evening news where I live, there was a story of a father who died drowned in the surf, saving his son who was caught in a rip. Now, you might expect a father to do that for his son, right? After all, it's his son. He loves the son. If I had to put my life in harm's way for my children, I don't think I'd even think a second about that. I love them. They're my children. The question, however, is, would you put yourself in harm's way for someone who's treated you badly? Would you lay your life down for someone who's rebelled against you, spoken badly of you, turned their backs on you? Well, would you? Have a listen. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. While you and I were still weak, just at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that, my friend, right there, is proof positive of God's love for you. I know that things in your life may not be perfect in every department. I know that you may be suffering over this or that. And I know, believe you me, I know, I've been there, that life can sometimes look so bleak, so desperate, that you can't even see how you're going to make it through until tomorrow. But right in the middle of whatever it is that you're going through at the moment, God has something to say to you today. Through his word, he's saying, I love you more than words could ever say. Just look at my son. Look at how he suffered and died for you. That's how much I love you. That's what you're worth to me. And you know, it's not until we feel loved that we can love other people. If you don't feel secure in love, you don't have any love to give away. So many people are missing out on the abundant life that Jesus came to give them because they know about God, they just don't know him personally. And if that sounds like you, then why not pray this prayer with me today? Father God, I've heard about your love today. I've heard about Jesus. Jesus who died for me and rose again for me. And I want to accept this Jesus as my Savior and the Lord of my life. I want to experience for real this love that I've heard about today. So, Lord, please forgive me. Please accept me just as I am. Please fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit and with your love. I ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just pray that prayer, you are forgiven. You have been made whole. And your life has just completely changed forever and ever. Amen. They say, is what makes the world go round. Fair enough. But sometimes we don't feel loved. And sometimes we struggle to share love with those around us. Not easy. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of my latest booklet, Love Is. Because God's word, man, it is alive and active. Amen? So I'm praying that through this simple booklet, he'll help you experience his love and share his love. You can request your free copy right now at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Just click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be on its way to your inbox in just seconds. But this is the very last week that this particular booklet will be available, so don't miss out. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Hey, thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time Monday with a different perspective.